Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Well, good morning and welcome to Deep Creek Anglican on this Christmas Day morning 2009. Baby born on nature strip. Well, that's what happened earlier this year, not far from us here. Police officers helped to deliver a baby in a car at Greensboro. The woman and her husband had stopped on the side of Greensboro Highway. When they realised that they would not make it to hospital, this was about 6 o'clock in the evening. The couple flagged down two police officers who kind of screamed to a halt on a nature strip, and the officers stepped in and helped deliver a healthy baby girl. By the time the paramedics arrived, Senior Constable Perry had wrapped the baby in a blanket and placed her in her mother's arms. Also earlier this year, a Ugandan woman gave birth to a healthy baby girl on a plane from Amsterdam to Boston while flying over Canadian airspace. Baby Sasha was born to the applause of other amazed Northwest Airlines passengers as Flight 59 flew over Halifax, Canada. Now, the mother was assisted in giving birth by two doctors who were returning from vacation. Sasha looked perfect. She opened her eyes and she was very happy. So said Dr. Natarajan Raman. Even though we didn't have a labour room delivery set up, everything went perfect. Sasha, weighing 2.7 kilos, was born 5 minutes after her mother went into labour, and about 90 minutes before the Boeing 757 landed in Boston, where child and mother were taken to the Massachusetts General Hospital as a precaution. Now, because little baby Sasha was born over Canadian airspace, she's deemed to be a Canadian citizen. Just imagine for a moment a pregnant Melbourne woman flying over New Zealand airspace and giving birth. I mean, like, the Aussies on the plane would cry out, "Oh no, not another Kiwi." But how terribly unfair that would be. Just get them to sing another hymn. Friends, babies are born in lots of unusual places, and it happens all the time. In first century Palestine, being born in an animal feeding trough was unusual. But by itself, really no bigger deal than being born in 2009 on a nature strip or in an aeroplane. The gospel writer Luke, a historian, tells us that there were shepherds who gathered around this baby. Shepherds. Well, around that hill country outside of Jerusalem and around Bethlehem, the reality is there's lots of shepherds. Even today, they're pretty easy to find, as you can see on the picture here, taken at the end of 2007 on a trip to the Holy Land. I mean, I'm sure lots of shepherds from Judea back in the first century had not only gathered around a newborn baby, but had probably actually been present during the delivery of babies. You see, in itself, is it a big deal? Not really. What about Bethlehem? I mean, is that such a big deal? I mean, Mary and Joseph went there because Joseph had to register. They go from Nazareth up the north to Bethlehem. It's a journey of about 5-6 days to be enrolled. Joseph needs to go there because he's a descendant of David. And this was decreed by the Roman Caesar Augustus. And if you valued your life, you did what the Romans demanded. So on the surface, this is not such a special account. A baby born in poor surroundings, one baby. I mean, the reality is lots of babies are born. At the Royal Women's Hospital in Melbourne, about 500 babies are born every month. But, the gospel writer provides us with information that truly marks this birth as absolutely unique in the history of mankind. You see, just before Luke gets to our section that we're looking at this morning in chapter 2, he tells us about a most unusual and strange occurrence. An angel comes to Mary and says, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus," meaning the Lord saves. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign forever. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." The arrival of one baby in a backwater town of the Middle East has particular significance for me, has particular significance for each one gathered here this morning, indeed for the world, ultimately for the cosmos. You see, Bethlehem as the place of birth actually was highly significant. God had declared through the ancient prophet Micah, you can read about it in Micah chapter 5, that a ruler, a king, would arise from Bethlehem, whose greatness would reach to the ends of the earth, one who would finally and ultimately bring peace. Oh, and the connection with David, that was also very significant, because God had promised King David that through him a king would come who would have an everlasting kingdom. And friends, don't miss this. Luke tells us, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests.'" In the history of mankind, no other king has ever received heavenly praise like this. What's happening? Heaven is declaring to the shepherds, and indeed to all who hear the words, the significance of the baby. The king has come. The shepherds get on their bikes, well, metaphorically speaking, and they head off to find the one whom heaven has praised. They find the baby in the animal feeding trough. And at the end of verse 20 of chapter 2, Luke records these critically important words, "just as they had been told." You see, God had revealed truth to them through the angel. God is truth, and what he says is always truthful and totally trustworthy. And God had told the shepherds through the angel, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." The question is, why is the message good news, and why is it a cause of great joy? The angel goes on, "For today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." A Saviour. A Saviour for you, a Saviour for all people, a Saviour for the world. This is the best news. It is news that should cause us to have great, great joy. Indeed, the coming of the Christmas baby, described as Saviour, Christ and Lord, will generate great joy in our hearts, providing we don't kid ourselves about our need for a Saviour. The reality is that for many Aussies, we work hard at convincing ourselves that we actually don't need a Saviour. I mean, like, of course, the person next door, that person in the news, well, they certainly need rescue. You know, like, attitudes like, "I haven't been arrested for insider trading. I'm not like my work colleague who just walked out on his wife and family of three kids, all of them under five. Yeah, and I'm not like those self-worshipping politicians And I'm certainly not like those prescription-addicted and recreational drug-using celebrities. Actually, I'm in pretty good shape. I mean, well, a few times I've cheated on my tax return. There's probably been a few times where I've put my own interests ahead of my wife's interests. Come to think of it, I kind of really dislike... No, actually, I despise that work colleague that sits over there in the open plan office. Anyway, I guess I shouldn't be too hard on myself. I mean, everyone knows he's a jerk. I mean, we often talk about the great big jerk that he is when we get together for Friday night drinks. But if I stand back and kind of weigh things up, compare myself to others, I'm probably not in such bad shape. But Jesus, in love for us, interrupts our deadly self-delusion. He reminds us of the Creator's call on every person to love God with our whole being, to love our neighbours as ourselves. That's God's requirements. They're totally reasonable, they're totally logical, because firstly, God is our Creator, and He's worthy of all our worship. And secondly, because we do know experientially that self-focused worship is totally destructive. We know that, don't we? Friends, the reality is we all need rescue. We all need the Saviour. We all need deliverance from that insidious, universal disease God simply calls sin. Sin. It is our worship of anything or anyone other than the living God Himself. God Himself comes and deals with this fatal problem of sin. Sin that destroys our horizontal relationships. Critically, sin that destroys our vertical relationship with the living God. What an unbelievable Christmas present. God Himself comes and deals with this deadly virus. How does He do this? Christmas baby is born in an animal feeding trough. Unusual? Yeah. But what stunning humility when you ponder who the Christmas baby is. The King has come. The one who is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Lord, God Himself in human flesh. God comes, lives a perfect life, dies in our place as our substitute on the cross, and rises again to bring us new life. Jesus Christ came to free us from the bondage of sin, to free us from the bondage of self-centeredness and self-worship. A Saviour has been born to you all, who is Christ the Lord, Saviour, King, Lord. The intricacies of the first Christmas are certainly beyond our comprehension. But the reality of the first Christmas is historical fact. The King has come. And in the church calendar, this time of the year, it's referred to as Advent. At Advent, we remember the first coming of the King, and we look forward to the return of the King. The one described in the book of Revelations as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yes, the King is coming back and will bring in the new heaven and the new earth. We look forward to this, don't we? I mean, don't we? God's promise is sure. The King has come. God's kingdom is here. We enter it through trust in the King, through trust in the Christmas baby. And the kingdom will one day come in its fullness. It will be very visible and very physical. The key to the kingdom is the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in him, clinging to him as the only hope of deliverance. His offer of entrance to the kingdom is made to all. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And may each of you on this Christmas day know the true reality of Christmas. Your Saviour has been born. He is Christ the Lord.